Good morning. The Braves are going to the World Series. You know, a few months ago when Charles asked me to come and fill in for him, picked out this message and let him know this is what I was going to speak on. And of course, I knew the next that evening before the Braves were going to win and go to the World Series. I knew that. Which is, how many of you watched that last night? Maybe even you're not a baseball fan, but it's kind of hard to not get excited about our hometown team. Anybody celebrate after that win last night? Come, be honest. Come on, it's okay. It's okay. Anybody? Would anybody like to reenact for us this morning how you celebrated last night when he threw that ball at first and then the Braves? These millionaire men running around in a field, jumping like schoolgirls. And I got to admit, my wife and I were kind of doing the same thing in the house right there. Anybody jumped up and down? It's okay, you can admit this. Anybody jump up and down? Yes, we have finally an honest man. Well, celebration is, last night it was fun. I don't know what's going to happen, but, you know, while it lasted, at least that was great. And this morning we were talking about that. We're talking about celebration, but we're going to look at a different passage of Scripture maybe than one you're familiar with. It's found in the book of Romans, chapter 5. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there and follow along with me. Or if it's on your phone, go ahead and click there, I guess. And we will be reading what Martin Luther called the Magna Carta of the Christian faith, the book of Romans. In other words, he thought that if you were stranded on a desert island and you could only have one book of the Bible that was kind of the totality of all of it, it was the book of Romans. And then, of course, what we do in our ministry is we feel it's important for every man, woman, to understand Genesis 1, 2, and 3 and Romans 5 through 8. I believe that if you fully understood how you were created, the image you were created in, the likeness, and then you can understand what Romans 5 through 8 is really saying about what it's like to live as a human being in this world with an eternal world to come, I believe those passages of Scripture will change your life. They certainly have changed mine. So looking at Romans chapter 5 this morning, Paul is writing here, and we'll start with this. We don't have time to go back, but anytime you see the word therefore, what was just said is as important as what's about to be said. But he starts chapter 5 with this word therefore. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Do you see that? We rejoice. We cheer. We celebrate in the hope of the glory of God. As Christians, we should be the most rejoicing, celebrating, partying people on the planet. I mean, think about it. As a Christian, this is the only hell we'll ever know. This is it. It's as bad as it gets. Now, the opposite of that is true. If you're not a believer in Christ, then this is the only heaven you'll ever know. This is as good as it gets. Enjoy. Soak it up. But Paul's saying here that we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Isn't it easy to celebrate when you win? I mean, it just, my wife and I, we don't even know how to celebrate. We look dorky. But we're one. We're celebrating. Do you see the Dodgers? Depression. You know, that's what it's like to be a Falcons fan. We know that feeling. Not clinical depression, situational depression, but nevertheless, we've experienced that. So we felt a little sorry for them. I mean, we're not going to be mean here, but we celebrate. But we don't celebrate in a baseball game or a win that can turn into loss. No, we celebrate in the hope of the glory. The glory is the goodness of God. That no matter what happens in our life, we know this, God is good. We know this. And we celebrate that. We party around that fact. Because there's nothing in life that you and I will ever face that God is not in complete authority over. Do you realize that? There is no place you will set your foot in this world or the world to come where Christ is not in absolute and complete authority. Folks, if that doesn't cause you to celebrate, I don't know what will. I just don't know. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. It is so fun and easy to rejoice when we win, but what about when we lose? What about when life is hard? What about when struggles come? You know, think about the times you celebrated in your life the most. Maybe it was the birth of that child you thought would never come along. You remember that feeling? I mean, let's have a party. We celebrate. We're really good at celebrating when good things happen to us. Or maybe that job that you had worked so hard to get, the promotion. Or maybe the loved one you were praying that was gone for so long has come back for some reason or another. And you celebrate. Stop everything. Let's celebrate. We're really accustomed to celebrating when things go our way, but what about when things don't go our way? Well, that's what this passage of Scripture is about this morning, and there's a lot in here. And I just want to look at a few things this morning for us, because in verses 1 through 2, he says, you know, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. But look at verse 3. He says, not only so, but we also rejoice, get this, in our sufferings. What? I like to do woodworking. I'm not good at it, but I like it. I promise you, I've never hit my thumb with a hammer and went, hallelujah! You ever? You ever walk around at night, no shoes on, they don't want to turn the lights on, disturb anybody, and you kick the corner of something with a bare foot? Have you ever done that? Yeah. How many of you, your first immediate thought was, yeah. You ever do that? Rejoice in our sufferings. What? Why would we do that? Why would we rejoice when we lose? Why would we rejoice when things don't go our way? Why would we rejoice when things are much more difficult than it seems, we've been passed over, or the diagnosis comes? Well, we're going to look at the Scripture and see this morning, but here's why. Because the proper response to every situation is worship. You win? Worship. You lose? Worship. You got a great diagnosis? Worship. You got a terrible diagnosis? Guess what? Worship. You see, we live for one greater than what this world has to offer. And so we don't just rejoice when we get our way. We rejoice in our sufferings, Paul says. Now, before you count him off as a maniac or someone who's just lost his way, he explains why. See, there's a reason for that. Because hard things happen in life. It's just the way it is. Difficulties come. But we don't stay stuck in our difficulties or in our sufferings or our tribulations, whatever your version says. Because it goes on here and it says that suffering produces perseverance. Now, there's an organization called Renovare. Richard Foster founded it, and it's the word Renovare is the Latin word meaning renewal. And they study spiritual formation, deep spiritual formation, discipleship, and that's what I'm doing now. I was a pastor for 30 years, youth pastor for 18, and then I got platinum blonde highlights and decided to graduate. Or they graduated me. Let me remember how that happened. And started discipling and started counseling and coaching and mentoring and found out that's what I really want to do. I want to teach discipleship around the world, and God's given us that opportunity. I want to help people in the hardest places of life where they feel stuck get to the next place. I enjoy speaking to crowds like this, but I'm actually in my best when I'm with one or two people or a small group of people. It's actually where I feel more comfortable, honestly. And I've found that when someone comes to me for counseling or coaching and they're stuck, they're going through a difficult time. Now, don't tell them this, okay? But this is what I think. And they start laying out all their problems and all the challenges, and they're legitimate. They're difficult. And my thought in the back of my head is this. This could be really good. This could get them to the place that God has dreamed they would be all along. Now, I don't want them to stay stuck. I don't want them to be challenged and stay there. But I know this. that suffering changes us. It produces something in us called perseverance or endurance. Maya Angelou said it this way. He said, we all admire the beauty of the butterfly, but we rarely take a moment to think of the difficulty it took in getting to that beautiful place. It's a challenge. It's a struggle. It's a change. It's a transformation. And Paul says to us this morning, rejoice in that season of life. You're going through a difficulty right now. You're being challenged in your relationships, or you're midlife and you thought, I thought I'd be in a different place than I am right now in my career or my family, and I don't get it. I don't understand, or my loved ones are addicted. If you've ever had a loved one who's addicted, you know the absolute change that the whole family feels from that addiction. And it's really hard to rejoice. I get it. But if we can, we know that the suffering produces endurance or perseverance. Now, you know, it was perseverance that caused the snail to reach the ark. You know that. Matter of fact, what did the snail say as it was riding the turtle? Whee! Endurance. Perseverance. Well, if we're going through a difficult time and we realize that God is the author of life, by the way, the root word of authority is author. Think about that. And we realize that He's crafted a plan for us and it's good. It's not to harm us. It's to prosper us. But we're going through this difficulty. Here's the thing. You keep rejoicing in that suffering because it's going to lead you to this place called perseverance. And perseverance, or you get up one more time. You keep tying your shoes. You go back to that job. You commit to that relationship. You pray again. You get in your word every morning. You see, there's a big difference in a daily devotional Christian versus a once a week Christian. Big difference. And it's Monday, and you don't feel like reading scripture and praying and journaling and doing your personal worship. You do it anyway. You persevere. You fight through. You keep going. Why? Well, the scripture's clear. It says it. Because suffering produces what? Oh, God. See, this is not a monologue. This is a dialogue, right? Yeah. Suffering produces perseverance. And the scripture says in the next verse, and perseverance produces character. Look at this. This is brilliant. This is ancient wisdom here. It's so applicable in our time today. So instead of shaking our fist at heaven and demanding an answer from God of why is this happening? Are you off the clock? Do you not care about me? And all the, you know, the accusations we throw at the one who created us and created eternity for us. We rejoice. Lord, I don't know why this is happening, but I worship you. I know you have a plan, and I wish you'd send it by telegraph right now, but if you don't, I'm still going to worship you. Job's wife said, you ought to just curse God and die, Job, because your life is not turning out like it would or should. And he said, even if he slays me, I'll serve him. See, we worship him. It's easy when we're winning. It's easy when our prayers are answered and we get exactly what we want. Thank you very much. It's more difficult when we're suffering. But if we know it leads to perseverance and perseverance leads to character, what is character? Well, you've heard lots of definitions of character before. Character is the sum total of everything you're made of. One, character is what you do when no one's looking. Character is the formation that you're being formed in. And by the way, none of us have fully arrived to the caricature that we are. We will. See, Paul tells us that we are daily being formed into the image of his son, the character of Christ. That's the end goal, to be more and more like Jesus every day. As a matter of fact, Mother Teresa was asked by Richard Foster, what's the key to the spiritual formation life or the key to the deeper spiritual life? And she said, it's actually really simple. She said, spend 1 hour a day adoring your Savior. And then don't ever do anything you know is wrong. You'll be fine. Spend 1 hour a day adoring your Savior, and then just never do anything that you know in your heart is wrong. And you should be fine. All of us are being formed, but we're not being formed mostly when we win. Most of our formation happens when we lose. I told you about Renovare earlier. They interviewed 10,000 deeply spiritual Christians. This is an interesting statistic or interesting poll. 10,000 Christians. And out of those 10,000, what they found were 10,000 out of 10,000 pointed back to a time in their life of pain or discomfort that was the catalyst for their spiritual growth. Isn't that interesting? I'll be darned. Scripture's right. You see, this character that we're being formed into, it reminded me of a story of a man who went to an art gallery. And I didn't appreciate art galleries when I was younger. I'm enjoying them more now as I age. Anytime I go to a new city or a new country, I love to go to see their art. There was a story of a man who was looking at different art in a gallery, and he came upon this marble stallion. It was huge, about 10 feet tall. It was the stallion on its back legs, the mane flowing. It was just an amazing piece of art. And he just would in awe of it. And then he would go around and look at different pieces, and then he would kept coming back to it. He'd go look at other things, and he just kept coming back, and he's finally just standing there just in amazement. He looks beside him, there's a little old man standing there, and he just says to him, isn't this amazing? I said, yeah. He says, I can't imagine how anybody could make this. And the little old man said, well, it took me quite a while. He said, what? Introduced himself, got his name, looked at the plaque, I'll be darned, it was him. It's a sculptor. He said, how in the world did you do that? He said, well, it was hard, but it was simple. He said, I just took a hammer and a chisel and I knocked off everything that didn't look like a horse. And you know, I think that's what's happening in our life. I think some of the challenges that we face together or individual are just ways that the things are being knocked off of us that don't resemble Christ. I mean, think about your character for a second. Is there anything about your character that it could be removed and you would more resemble Christ? Well, see, sometimes that's what these difficulties in life do, but we can't give up on God or our faith or His plan or redemption for humanity or our own personal well-being. We have to continue to rejoice in our sufferings. Why? Because they lead to this thing called perseverance. And we know that when perseverance has done its work, it leads to character. I've been blessed over my years of ministry to have some elderly saints pour into my life. And every one of them has a story. Everyone who's a deep person of faith and character has a story of pain and challenge and difficulty. No one's exempt. But they endured. And they have the sweet aroma of Christ in their life. And if you get close enough, you can smell it. I love hanging out with people like that. But that's not it. He goes on to say that, well, let's do a pop quiz. Ready? We know that suffering produces what? Perseverance produces what? And he says here, and character produces hope. Yes, look at that. Look at that. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. George Weinberg said this. He said, hope never abandons you. You abandon it. Don't give up hope. Don't give up hope in the difficulties of life or the challenges of life or things aren't working out like you thought it would. Because the proper response to every situation is worship. And as we worship in the difficulties, realizing, you know what, this is forming my character. This is forming my Christian character, and I'm going to stay strong, and I'm going to stay the course. One of the things I love to teach people to do is how to do personal worship, how to spend time with the Lord each day. And in the process of that, usually change doesn't come in a week. You may feel better about yourself, but true transformation comes over a longer period of time. Eugene Peterson wrote a book on discipleship, which he entitled, A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. Does your spiritual course look like a firefly? Or does your spiritual course, is it a long obedience in the same direction? Well, life will throw us curveballs. Life throws us challenges. Don't you give up, my friends. Don't you give up on God. Don't you give up on the faith of your childhood or understanding what this thing's really all about. Don't give up. Hang in there. Endure. It's going to form your character. And when your character is formed, you will have a hope that is unshakable. A hope that Paul says here this morning will not disappoint. Nelson Mandela said it this way. He said, may your choices reflect your hopes and not your fears. One of the things I realize about the human condition and the struggles that we all face as men and women is the issue of anxiety. Probably the number one thing that walks in with someone into my office or into a coaching or counseling relationship is a lot of people are anxious. Did you know that? Do you know a lot of people are anxious? It's true. Trust me. Anxiety, and here's what we know is true. That, well, first off, everything Scripture says is right. It just keeps being verified. But when we're dealing with fear or anxiety in our life or stress, there's a word maybe you haven't heard of lately. It's because we're living in the future. We're living in a place that doesn't even exist. It's a fantasy world. It may be there, it may not. The future doesn't even exist. So when you're feeling stressed or anxious or fearful, just ask yourself this question, what am I really stressing about? What you'll find is it's something out there yet to be. If you're feeling angry, then we know that it's always about something that happened. It's in the past. So think about it. If you're dealing with anger or stress or you're going through a difficult time and your character's being formed, if you're mad, it's because you're living in the past. Get over it. Forget about it. Move on. Forgive. Let's go. Get up. Stop it. What do I have to say? You can't do anything about the past but learn from it. It's all you can do. Let God heal you. It takes time. I understand. I don't want to minimize anyone's pain of the past. But if you're still angry or living in unforgiveness, you are living in a place that doesn't even exist anymore. It's called the past. You want me to prove it? All right, go back there and change that and do something about it, okay? We'll meet back in 10 minutes. Where would you go? No. See, stop being angry and bitter and resentful and all the things that come with different forms of anger. It means you're living in the past. You're biting your nails, you're nervous, you're getting an ulcer because you're living in the future. Jesus shows up 2,000 years ago in a field by the Sea of Galilee and he says, live right now. What did he say about the future? What do you say about tomorrow? Don't worry about it. Don't worry. Don't stress. See, doesn't exist. Nothing you can do about it. I mean, you can prepare for it, but you might not even be here, right? You really have no way of knowing the future. You may be stuck in the past, and some of this suffering that you're dealing with could be given up with simple forgiveness. Or moving on. And just trusting God, deciding to worship, deciding to hand it over to your living Savior, to the Creator, to the one who formed you and has prepared a place for you. As a Christian, this is the only hell you'll ever know. Rejoice. It's easy to rejoice when we win. But what about when things don't go our way? We rejoice. Because there's a reason. It does something in us. It produces what? Yeah, you got it. Perseverance. Endurance. And once we've endured and persevered through some things, what's formed? Character. And a person that's full of character has hope. A hope that will not disappoint you. You remember this. Hope never gives up on you. You give up on it. Let us pray. Father, I just want to speak a word of deep encouragement over these brothers and sisters of mine. Some I've met and some I haven't yet. But Lord, you know their story. You know their challenges. You know that some of us in here are facing the challenge of our life. Never been harder than it is right now for some. But yet, Lord, your word is true, and we can build our life on it like building a house on a rock. I pray you give them the ability to rejoice in their challenges and realizing that it's going to produce perseverance and character is going to produce hope, and that's what this world needs. Lord, if we were walking about this community with the true hope of Christ in our lives, this place would be filled to the rafters of curious people going, what do they have that I don't? And so, Lord, I just pray that you would give us the ability in our challenges to worship you, to serve you, to commit to you, and to be the men and women of God that you've always dreamed we would be. And we will forever sing your praise in this world and in the one to come. In the strong name of Christ. Amen.